you know, we're kind of like pirates, so in a lot of ways.
Welcome to With Those I've Journeyed, an exploration of life's contours, intersections, and developments. I'm Rod Goodman, and today I'll be sharing a conversation I had with my good friend Alan Arnold. During this time of isolation, it was refreshing to spend some time revisiting the beginnings of our friendship. While our paths were very different, the intersection of our lives and the Department of Right-of-Way could not have come at a time that I needed it more. As you listen to our conversation, you may hear a word or two that you find offensive, but don't let that distract you from being reminded of a friend who showed up at just the right time. That right time friendship started for me when I began purchasing right-of-way for the Kentucky Department of Transportation in December of 2007.
I started working there, and it was awkward at first. And so, Alan, tell me about what your first memories of our relationship are.
I'll start back a little further than that. I'll start with when I, as you alluded to earlier, heard you were going to be hired. I went over to admin, and depending on how big this goes, I'll also explain. Eminent domain work means we go out and, if we have to, fully take people's homes. We do reimburse them for it and try to compensate them well, but, you know, it can be an ugly profession, and you got to kind of be a certain type of person to do that. And I always talked about, you know, we're kind of like pirates, so in a lot of ways. So, you know, I get this bug in my ear that, hey, we're going to hire a pastor. And so I start freaking out, and I literally go over to HR, and I'm like, y'all know we say fuck a lot in here, don't you? You know, of course, they're laughing. It's like, well, can you control us? And have you met us? Kind of a wild bunch. So that was, you know, full disclosure there. That was my first impression with Rod, which, you know, come to find out, it's, you know, he's just a normal guy and an amazing person at that. But that is a very funny and true story that we both like to share. It gets even better. I can't say if it was his first day there or not, but within the first week, you know, we had a person that was kind of being pushed on us. It wasn't we did or didn't want her, but she just didn't qualify to be a right-of-way agent. She was in there working, so she was kind of getting wind of this, especially because we'd hired four new people, not including her. So anyway, long story short, one of the first things Rod does when he gets in the office is he goes into her office and asks her if she'd like any help moving her things out. Unbeknownst to him, he was literally taking her office. we've got several really good stories of Rod starting in right away.
Well, and needless to say, it took a little while, but I fit in pretty quick. Some of my favorite sayings during that time of Alan's were when we would go, because we drove all over the district, all over District 3 in Kentucky, and we ate at a million different places, and Alan would say, I've never tried this before. I'd be like, it's mac and cheese, dude. Come on. How could you not try mac and cheese? So we broadened his palate. But I think one of my favorite right-of-way memories was to show how far our relationship came was, one day we were having a rubber band war in the office, and I remember standing up over my cubicle, shooting a rubber band across the office, hitting Alan in the top of the head, and Greg, the chief district engineer, was standing behind me. he said, did you get him? I was like, I guess so, Greg. Yeah. But we had a lot of fun. And we got to spend a lot of time in the car. Spent a lot of time talking, riding around to different projects. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk to Alan is out of that process, a pretty unlikely pair became pretty tight friends.
Definitely.
You know, after I left right away and came to work with Habitat, Alan ended up serving on his board. His dad does some work for us, and we go camping together. If we have a need, we're one of the first people we call and become a pretty tight pair. And we have a lot more in common besides the fact I used to be a Baptist minister. And so we did make it we did make it through that part. So, Alan, we're kind of delving into the subject along with those we've journeyed. I know we talked a lot about, we spent a lot of time talking about the spiritual in the car, not so much the religious, but the spiritual and just how to do life. And I guess that's been, can you believe that's been like, that was end of 2007. So we're coming up on like 12 or 13 years this Christmas of when that time was. That, man, I just started feeling old.
Yeah, that's a minute.
But that is a minute. That's like a decade. That's like, let's see, my youngest was four at that point in time. He's driving now. It's crazy. So Alan, as we think about this, like as we move into 2021, out of probably the worst year in the history of our lives, 2020. What makes you hopeful moving into 2021?
You know, it's I've got so many things going on. You know, over the last 4 or 5 years, literally my entire world has changed. So it's, you know, I've really had to struggle, and I'm still struggling. Yeah, I can touch on part of that and answer this. You know, one of those biggest struggles would be with my son. You know, he didn't necessarily choose a bad path, but he just didn't choose a path.
Yeah.
So that was one of the first things I had to learn to become hands off on. I had to learn to become hands off, allow that to be what it was, and me still be okay over here and just kind of be in a support role rather than in the bulldozer mode. Because that's typically in my life, regardless of what it is, I've been able to just suck it up, endure it, and push through it. And that was one of the first things, and I've since encountered many more, but, you know, he started several years ago where I just realized I had to do that. And, you know, this year he's thankful to my dad. You know, my dad was able to help him get a pretty good job, especially for someone his age. He's loving what he's doing. He's met a girl that he's not only compatible with, but, you know, they're extremely happy. So, you know, things that I feared and had to release and allow to be what it needed to be, I'm seeing good things coming from that. So, you know, that experience kind of gives me hope for 2021, because as you said, this year, man, I think most of us have had to kind of step back in every aspect of our life and say, okay, nothing's working now. So who am I?
Right.
What is important to me? What makes me, and how do I connect with others? And long story short, that's probably the thing that makes me the most hopeful right now, is that I've seen so many people and talked to so many people that are really taking this time to look introspectively and find out who they are and what matters. And to also start waking up to, hey, you know, society's not what we've been told, and kind of coming together. It's, you know, as bad as everything is, you're also seeing a lot of healing and a lot of reaching out in new ways. So I am hopeful of that. You know, I'm scared it may have to get ugly for a little while. I hope not, but oddly enough, I can almost see society and community becoming closer.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. One of the things this year has done is, for me, is, you know, I've always been I'm very practical, to be hands-on and do things, but I'm always looking at the big picture. What's the big picture? And the big picture of 2020 sucked.
And, definitely.
And so, like, it caused me to remove my focus from that big picture. And I think everybody, your world shrunk. Like, where you were involved, I got tired of the news and all the garbage you read on social media, and I just, you know, you yeah. start begin to duck away, and you start to, I started spend a lot more time with my family than they probably wanted me to. But we did find hope. You know, our boys are the same age for the most part, our oldest, and both going through these transitions in life right now. And to see them be able to succeed, man, it gave me a lot of hope this year.
Yeah.
Just to be able to surround myself, and not just in the fact that I can see they're doing good, but in the fact that when I say we, our generation, older folk, we screwed this up so bad that we can't fix it. And yeah. I'm hoping some of these guys are smart enough to be able to, compassionate enough and to be able to see through some of that stuff. Another thing you said that I caught on is this year is talking about, you know, this year has been a year of the open wound, like, not to mention I almost cut my finger off, but yeah. but like this year, you know, where we thought racism was on its way out.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we thought, well, this year it really, all of those wounds were open for everybody to see and yeah. see that it affected, it wasn't healing. And so hopefully shedding some light to that will help us be able to make some progress. I've had a lot of opportunity to do more listening this year than fixing. I'm a fixer, so I don't like to listen. I like to jump in and fix it. So I've had to do a lot of listening. And in this situation, that's the role I should be in when you talk about race. But I've had an opportunity to learn from a lot of folks. And when it comes to hope, for me, I don't know where you are, but like I want to be hopeful. And I have things that I've surrounded my principles of hope. I've kind of surrounded myself with. But yet, I'm sometimes very separated from those, and especially this year, in how I practice those. So, I mean, like a big, for the last decade of my life, community has been a huge part of my life. Like, and not just with work, with our friends, and just having a tight community that you could count on. And I found myself more this year, I become more withdrawn from that. And then I find myself, you know how it is. You get up, you go to work, you come home, you do whatever it is you're going to do, watch a little TV, you go to bed, you get up, you do it again. Really neglecting connection. I've had a few opportunities this year, but I'm not sure what the other side of this looks like, what 2021 looks like coming out of this pandemic in terms of connecting with other folks. So last night, for the first time, we had a friend invited us over, Michael Meese, invited us over to sit on his back porch. And we went. One, it seemed really weird to put on pants and leave the house.
Yeah. I know it.
And then we went and sat on the back porch and we talked for 3 or 4 hours and just hung out. Came home and talked to another friend on the phone for an hour I hadn't talked to in a long time. And man, I missed that.
Yeah.
But I had gotten to a place where I didn't realize I missed that. I thought I enjoyed life without that. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. And I think we were all just running at such breakneck speed. And you know, you're much more involved in community than I am, but you know, I have lots of things going at the same time too. And you just got, I do think we were all just so taxed. The break initially was very nice. And you know, those of us, like, as you say, I'm an extreme introvert. So, I mean, coming home and doing nothing, even by myself occasionally, is, you know, that's heaven to me. So, you know, kind of really absorbed that, but then it did get to this really odd point where, hell, I didn't even want to take a phone call. You know, it's so it got to a point to where, you know, my norm got to be where I was just with those that I live with and rarely anyone else. So I just got used to functioning with that. And with me already being so introverted, literally a phone call became an issue. I'd start having anxiety about having to do a work call. Well, you like to eat, you know, you got to kind of push through this. But, you know, I did, and you are. And, you know, so I think as we craved that solitude at the beginning of this, I think as we all begin to wake up, I think we're going to crave those friendships and those relationships and those experiences with others again. And, you know, move out of this back into a new norm.
When I started thinking about this podcast, it really took me back to that leg of my journey where real physical connection, that community, was such a vital part of my life. There were so many in that group that were transitioning out of the church and trying to probably deal with some pain in their lives, but also trying to have a renewed focus on life. And it was that community, including you, Alan, that added so much hope and joy to my life.
You know, and that's, I'll touch on this briefly. That, you know, something I figured out early on for whatever reason and didn't fully accept it until maybe our friendship. And you were kind of going through this at the same time. You know, and I, not to speak for anyone, but that, you know, the group that used to meet at your house, I think most of us, and fully speaking for myself, you know, I still do believe in the work that Christ did and how he lived his life and do try to emulate that. Where our society kind of falters is that they've constructed these absolutes that if you don't do X, Y, and Z and you're not in this place or that place, that you're not doing that. You know, to me, Christ, especially now, you know, not talking about historically or the life he did live, but, you know, now it's just a spirit of community and love and me being my best so I can help you be your best and you being strong when I'm weak and, you know, living that life of love and community. And I think, you know, that's what it's about. And to me, that's what it was always supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've kind of going back originally, you know, I do still, you know, I have a lot of I like to study all kinds of things. And, you know, where I'm going with this is, you know, reincarnation. I do believe in that. I do. Now, what it looks like, I can't tell you, but it just doesn't make sense for us to be one and done here. There's, you know, more stars in the sky than grains of sand. You know, God just didn't create all this for nothing. So, yeah, 2020 has been really bad, man, and it's rough and it's scary. But regardless of what I go through, I do know inside it's going to be okay, and so is everyone else. Now, there's days, man, where I forget that, and I come home, and good God. You know, it's typically four or five things that hit at once, you know, and I'll get down. But ultimately, I do go back to that. I almost said belief, but it's just, I know, man. It's a knowing that
yeah.
It will be okay. You know, it's, you know, yeah. That's, you know, it's just, we are loved. And that's, most of us forget that, you know. It's,
yeah.
I mean, there'll be times like, man, I'll get so deep in my head, I'll think everybody in my life hates me, much less God and Jesus loving me. But, you know, it's, again, that's just, society has kind of programmed us all wrong. And you, to be okay and whole, I think you have to step back and acknowledge that, you know. And for me, like, you know, you and Ben and Terry, you know, it's, are all, not only very well educated, which I've never thought of myself as, and I'm not, but you carry yourself well, but you were also all, you know, all ministers. So the fact that, you know, I became friends with all of you all, you know, that taught me, because I had this very, you know, I was not the people in church typically, and I sure was not the pastor. So for me to become friends with people that I very much look up to, and I see them serving Christ and community, that was very powerful and healing for me. You know, that was, I had been through a really dark time a few years before we met. And to know that, no, like how you feel and how you think of things and how you see things and how you're trying to be is right. You know, y'all all gave me a very powerful and healing message.
Well, listen, man, I appreciate you taking the time to be here. And
enjoyed it.
I'm not sure where this whole podcast thing is going, but I also just want to thank you for being an important part of my journey. You know, as I think back about all the time we spent together, we've come a long way, brother. All the time we spent together in that car at the state over 18 months was life-changing, and I appreciate it.
Being a pirate's not so bad. I kind of enjoy it. And I hope you have a fellow pirate to do life with. Someone like Alan, who has quietly given so much back to his community, more than anybody will ever know. And he has taught me more about life than he'll ever realize. To many more campfires, my friend. Special thanks to the mixing skills of Michael Meese. Michael, you made me sound less like a 50-year-old man who doesn't know that much about technology, and I very much appreciate it. Thank you so much for your help. Thanks for taking the time to listen today, and I hope you'll join us next week as Terry, Ben, and I preview our interviews for the month of February. Until then, journey on, my friends.